Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Claudia Monacelli. My avid followers knew this podcast as Pleasure Seeking, the Pleasure Seeking podcast, named after my book, The Magic of Pleasure Seeking. As soon as it's available for pre-order, I'll announce it here. Enjoy your listening.
Hello, 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 hello. We have 48 people in the chat. This is wonderful. I'm so happy for you that you're with us today. This is an episode also that will kick off the Sushant Singh Rajput episodes of my podcast, that series. Now, while that is said, and before I have my special guest come on, I do have to thank one more time Nas Gafist for this beautiful logo that he's done for me, he's made for me, and it's the title of my book, The Magic of Pleasure Seeking. When the pre-orders are available, I'll make that known and I'll let you know. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome Faisal Khan. Hello.
Hi, Christelle, how are you?
I'm fine. And I'm laughing because I'm expecting, you know, in YouTube language, in social media language, we used to say people could flame you. You know, they would send flames when they didn't like what you did, you know?
Fireworks,
yeah. And so in the beginning, when I announced that you would be coming, there were a few people saying, why are you interviewing him, you know? And of course, I don't live in it in India, but yeah. I do follow the Indian culture and the Indian social scene. So I calmed the waters a bit. And as you can see, we have a lot of people in the room. And they have a lot of questions, but I will start with one question. It's a small question, because you've been in the news, you've been around, and people have been asking you so many things, and people have been watching that. But there's one thing that I read, and I didn't know. Is it true that you were asked to be in the Big Boss house, and you said no?
I was asked actually after my family issue. You know, I had a family issue, and I in 2008,
yes.
And I suddenly shot into limelight, and I won my court case and all that. So Big Boss searches people like who have some, you know,
some
drama around them, conflicts or some, you know, that kind of thing around them, you know, and then in their lives. So they tracked me down, you know.
Yeah,
and they said, no, you must join it. And this was in 2008. And I was like, oh God, I needed some money, you know, at that point. I was out of my house and all that. So then I said, what is the show about? It was the second episode of this show, you know.
Yeah.
And if people have watched Big Brother in the UK, I think it's a show similar to that.
Similar.
It's on those lines. Yeah. So I used to tell them that, see, I already was locked up by my big brother.
Yeah. Yes. No. I mean, I won
that case. So if you put me in this show, I'm going to definitely win this time also. I used to joke around.
Okay. So that's the reason. But that was the main reason.
That was the reason, because I was in the limelight and for maybe not all the right reasons, but whatever. So then they wanted me. But then they you know what happened? They signed me for the show. I got 4 lakhs for it.
Oh.
And then suddenly someone pulled some strings. I don't know who, but whether it was someone from my family or someone. And suddenly I was out of the show because they said this guy might go and talk God knows what not on the show. You know?
Ah, okay. So
suddenly it's one day they said, you're out of the show. And I said, why? What have I done? They said,
okay,
no,
so someone didn't want you to talk.
Maybe,
probably. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Okay, let me see what Maria Rizan, let me see. Can you see that what I'm putting on the screen, Faisal?
Yes.
An untold happiness. Can't wait to meet SSR. Thanks, Christelle. Never forget. Okay, so this is just a comment. It isn't a question.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we have? Nirvana Bliss is a supporter of mine. I hope Faisal will be safe.
One more thing I want to tell you. I was just, because of all these interviews and my film coming up, I got a call from Big Boss again today. Someone called me. I said, what is this? Why does everyone want to cage me again and again? I just laughed it all. I said, sorry, I can't do this thing today. I mean, I just laughed my guts out and you're asking me this question now. Just 2 hours back, I told that guy, no, I can't do it.
One day you will do it.
No, not Big Boss.
Because does it have a negative stigma? I mean, if you go there, you must be very desperate. Is that what it is?
Yeah, you're out of work, basically. You've been somewhere in the limelight, but maybe you don't have any work. That's kind of, and then you want to get back into the work frame and into the work world. And, you know, that's how you come into the news again. And and whatever, you know, the show is pretty loud and fights. And so, and if you manage to win, then you get. But nothing, actually, if you go to see all these years, none of the winners have really got back into the mainstream of work as such. So they just, but they win that jackpot money and, if you win, and every week you make some money and all that kind of thing.
So look, I've got a couple of questions here, so we're going to have to.
Now to answer Nirvana, that am I safe? I mean, I gave these interviews in this past because I was giving interviews and the people were asking me questions and I was answering the truth. So I told one of my friends that now maybe one of these days my bell might just suddenly ring and I'm going to be asked to leave this house. Just be ready. So
have you been getting any threats?
No. I have not been getting any threats of yet, no.
Okay.
So I'm safe that way, yeah.
One before we go on to the rest of the questions, one of the... subscribers under the video when I announced that you were coming said, Khan family rented to Sushant his apartment, so they must be involved with the murder. And, you know, and I think I mentioned it. Can you answer to that?
Yeah, I can enlighten that. Actually, my uncle owned a plot, owned a bungalow, you know, right opposite Joggers Park. And then he had some land behind, so he sold it. And they built a building and they built a society. So then my uncle is, and he's my uncle is no more anyway. He's passed away and all that. So that society was made, God knows, so many years back and all that. So that happens to be my uncle's plot, which he sold to some people, to some builder or whatever. And they made a building. And so now, I don't know, unfortunately, Sushant came to stay there. He was staying at some other place earlier. But I don't know how, what happened. And, you know, destiny got him to that place. And that's where the unfortunate incident happened with him. So maybe the audience is linking that. You know, they're trying to find some links to the to the unfortunate incident. So, I mean, that's where, that's all it's about, that my uncle once owned that plot and a building was built over there. But that's it. There's nothing more to it.
Okay, we have Ray of Hope saying all the best for Factory.
Yeah, thanks, Factory. Well,
why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, Factory, see, we released the film. Actually, you know what happened, Crystal? I was trying for an OTT release because right now, because of the lockdown, we couldn't decide whether we should do a theater release or an OTT release. And we were preferring OTT releases. But the unfortunate thing is the star system, you know, and that yet prevails in the industry. So because I don't have many big stars and I myself am not a big star. So that came in the way of, they were not buying my film. And they said, first you release it in the theaters and then we'll consider it. So if it would have done well in the theaters, which it did not in the box office, you know, although some YouTubers are very, are going guns that don't know this film has done that much. That's not true. You've not done well at the box office because even it's understandable because Corona is there and why should people risk their lives just for a film?
Going to the movies.
But there was not the way for me because the OTT was not taking it. So I had to go in the theaters. You know, and then they would consider me. So now again, I'm going to approach the OTTs. But what I'm coming to know is that they are yet saying that no, the film didn't do well now. So again, we won't take it. And you know, if the film would have done well, I could have asked for a better price, which is what the market is. But so now they will take it on in a pay-per-view format, which the audience will have to pay and watch. So that's the unfortunate thing. I mean, when I see a paper watch movie, I say, oh, what the hell? I've already paid for the channel and now I have to pay for the movie. So that's the other obstacle which I'll have to face. And I mean, I'll have to see how many people are really interested in watching my film on a pay-per-view format. But I'll have to take that risk again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
Anushka says, factory super hit. Love you from Amsterdam. well, for us it is, right? A super hit.
I hope people watch it on the pay-per-view. And, I want the feedback, I want the audience feedback. What my film is all about. Because, all these critics also are very bought out, in the industry. It's a full cycle. It's a very big...
Okay, yeah.
What do you call it?
Of course, there is a... Well, in Italy, we call it a mafia.
Yeah, something like that is happening here. It's sad. This tank is full of water and there are many holes in this tank, right, in India, in this Bollywood. And one doesn't know which to plug where and, to rectify the thing. It's something like that.
Yeah.
The many, many loopholes and many, yeah, the mafia. Oh, God.
Well, all over the world, it's similar. You have to have good connections and your movie could be a hit. Sometimes it's good quality, sometimes it's not quality. But in any case, if you have connections, it's distributed well, right? In this case, what were your hopes for the film? I mean, what was the intention of doing it? With what kind of... idea did you have?
There were two, three intentions. There are two, three. It's quite a complex ritual. If I explain it to you, what happens is that if we wouldn't release at this point, there's something called as a VPS fees, the theatrical fees which you hire. Right now, we are getting it at 50%. If I would have waited for the right time, then everything increases, the publicity increases, and then maybe I won't afford a partner who could pay that much. Then many more films would come in.
Yeah.
Many more big productions if I waited for 1-2 years more. So there are other obstacles which one has to face. So I said, might as well release it now and then maybe go to the OTT and let's see how it fares at the OTT. Just let it be out in the market. So that is the reason. And then it's everything has a plus point and a negative point, right? Any situation.
Yeah.
So the positive is that it's out in the market and we've made a film, we've released it. That is also a big thing. Many films don't release, don't see the light.
They never see the light, right?
So now we can move to the... And then, So all such things. Then my career, I have such producers that they, they had the full trust in me. And I could release the film the way I wanted it to. And, that's why it's known so much in the world right now.
Yeah.
And it could bounce me back as a director or as an actor. Unfortunately, not as an actor. I think I'll have to direct a few films and do some small bits in my films. Because right now I won't sell. My next film won't sell if I again cast myself as an actor. So I have to be fair to the producer and have to, weigh everything and then, put my next project ahead. I'll work with someone who
will be able to get you more success.
Hope
is saying, I love you in Mela.
Hello, Mela. Yeah, that is a film which I'm... Thank you, Hope. Thank you so much. Yeah,
what my was hope Mela never dies. About?
Mela was a film where Amir and me both were together. Yeah, and my brother and me, we both were in the film together. And that film, again, had got me a lot of appreciation. And, my fan following, the people who like me. And that released in 2000. But Crystal Idiot comes on TV and people yet love it. It's 21 years. That's amazing. And they love me. I'm known because of Mela.
So it's
a landmark film for me.
Sarah says, Faisal, I love you. I love you. We have a lot of appreciation here.
Sarah Dilan. Yeah, I remember this.
You're still single. He's still single.
He's from Germany.
He's still single.
He's from
ladies.
Germany.
Let's see. Che Book, one of the few and candid people in the famous society. That's sweet.
Yeah, I try to be myself. Although I'm in this profession, I don't believe in... although many people just put up a front and, they try and say that we are actors and we have to behave in a particular way. I just don't believe in all that. I just do your work, your best, and just leave it at that.
I've got a question here about, there you go. Mano asks, did Amir suppress you?
Well, suppress me in the way he... when we did Mela and it released and my work was being appreciated, and so I don't know, Amir one day he time and just 1 week or 10 days, because in 1 week you come to know whether your movie is running or not. Yes. Running, you know, on a Monday of the week. Mm-hmm. It releases on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If Monday your film is not sustaining or not picking up at the box office, you know that the term in the industry is that it's going to be a flop then.
Mm-hmm.
So after that week was released, then Amir called me and said that, you know, you're not a good actor and you can't act. So I wouldn't call it as suppressing, but he told me that. So I felt a little dejected because I had worked very hard and, you know, so I was getting some sort of appreciation from the people. So I was like, I think I knew my job and I was ready to work hard and better at each
You're
each
being
film.
Very kind. But you're being very kind.
No.
Let's see. We have a question here. We've got a question here. Did you personally ever take a stand for Sushant, as you are a brave guy? I'm not sure what you mean by take a stand.
See what happened. No. You may take a stand in the sense whatever went wrong, and you know. See, I didn't know Sushant when Sushant was in the industry. What happened with him that he did the right films and his first film only clicked, you know, Kai Poche clicked. And when you become a hit, you go in a different league. And I was, I was in the own struggles of my life trying to find my, you know, battle my stigma, which was a mental stigma. People were saying, oh, this guy is mad. So I was struggling with my own issues. And he went into a different league where he was a hit and he was moving around with the top guys. And I have always been a flop guy. So the worlds are very different, you know. And when you're in the hit range and when you're in the bottom range, it's different people you move around with. So unfortunately, I never met Sushant, but I learned more about him after he passed away.
Yeah.
And it was very unfortunate what happened with him. You know, when I saw his interviews, after I used to go and see his films in the theaters. I saw Kedarnath and I saw Chichori and I saw Kai Poche later on and said, yeah, he's a wonderful actor. And it was very unfortunate what happened with him. And, you know, it's a mystery yet. It has to be resolved. So, I feel very bad for him and I speak for him that he should get justice. And, you know, it was a mysterious murder or whatever. And people should, you know, be punished for whatever they have done. Yeah. I mean, it's not right, whatever happened. But then that's all I can say. And I can pray for him and his soul, and that's all I can do, because I'm a no one, you know. So who listened to me, that's where it stands.
Well,
but
prayers,
I support him,
prayers,
I pray for him.
Prayers are always listened to here. Then we have someone from Mauritius is saying hello. Mauritius, that's okay. Then we have
Rachna.
All right, there we go. Truth seeker. Long time ago, there was a rumor in the media that you were dead by suicide. Are you aware of that? Do you have any comments?
No, I'm not aware of this. I'm not aware of this comment.
So there was a rumor that you had committed. Well, you disappeared. Is that right?
No. Yeah. I disappeared from the scene because, after whatever happened with my family, Crystal, I was under a lot of tension and I had put on a lot of weight because of the unwanted medication that was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I had to first make myself presentable to act.
Well,
so,
now tell us, I mean, are you crazy or not?
if a crazy man can make a film and direct and act and sing and write, then I am crazy. And the people who watch it are crazy enough. Well, actually, the thing is that, you know, I went through a bad period where my family thought that I was a crazy person. And because of all the
mentally
incidents that happened, I had a misunderstanding with my family. Mm-hmm. And I decided to take a step back from where I was. And, you know, I didn't want to have fights with them and bickerings and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that maintaining a distance will, you know, be nice. And, you know, the things will be, all the misunderstandings will be resolved. Mm-hmm. By itself, because distance sometimes, you know, it makes the heart fonder.
Yeah.
So I said, let's keep a distance. But then what happened that they were not stopping and they were keeping on saying that you're mad, you're mentally ill. And, you know, I was saying that at some point they will turn around and they will see that, no, he's normal. He's not doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that never happened. And at one point later on, when one day my brother called me and I was in this very house when they first caught me, and, you know, then they took me to a nursing home and they gave me unwanted medicines in my water which one of the bodyguards told me later on. And I was like, and I started sleeping for 18, 20 hours in the nursing home.
Yeah.
And you know, my brother came with a full police force and doctors, and he said, if you don't come, then I'll make you unconscious and take you and all this. And all suddenly police landing up at my house with 40 bodyguards in the building, and there's ropes and sticks, and because they thought I was aggressive and I had lost it. So all this, I said, I told my brother, you don't need to do all this. I'll come with you. You know, I thought they'll just take some tests and, I mean, they'll leave me. But when they took me to this nursing home, they literally came very strong on me. They took my phone, they took everything, and they locked me in that nursing home, and they started pumping me with medicines.
Yeah.
And although I said, I don't want to take any medicines, I'm a normal person. So then I was sleeping for 20 hours each day. So I was like, what is this? How can I sleep for 20 hours? You know, I mean, how can I do that? I was just having water and just eating food.
Yeah.
And no medicine. So then I realized that they are giving me something, you know. And I said, oh God, if the overdose happens, then maybe I might just lose my life.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how much they're pumping, how much medicine in that water.
Yeah.
And that medicine also, I came to know later, was called Serenace. You know, it's a medicine which doesn't have much taste in the water. And I had to have water to survive and eat.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then I realized that, oh God, this is something going wrong. So I told my brother and my sisters that, listen, just give me the medication. I'll take it because, you know, I mean, I thought to myself that if an overdose happens, I might just die tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I started taking those medicines and I started listening to everything that they were saying. I was saying, yes, sir, yes, man, yes, everything, yes. So then after 19 days, I was left to go back home. Suddenly the doctor said that, no, okay, this guy has become slightly better and okay, and he's listening to us. So they take me home, and instead of taking me to this house where I'm staying, they locked me up in my brother's house. And with bodyguards and all that, and I couldn't make a phone call to anyone. So I would pick up the phone, the bodyguard would ask that, who are you calling? What are you doing? So I was locked up in the house, literally. And I was given forceful medication. Now, this was all illegally happening to me and I couldn't do a thing about it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I went through all that. And then what happened? Then the family started meeting me, and you know, I could make out from the expression that they look at me as a madman, which was very sad for me. I could see it in the eyes, in the behavior. But I should just tolerate all that because I had no, all the full family was against me, you know.
Yeah.
And my father was married to someone else in a second marriage. So he was slightly away from all what was happening. But I couldn't contact him also. So anyway, then after 6 months, 8 months, they started leaving me a little, like they started giving me a little freedom. So I thought maybe now they are giving me little freedom. Maybe, you know, slowly over the 1 year that Amir has said that you have to stay in this house, maybe after 1 year, everything will become okay and all that. So, but then on my, you know, there's a festival called Eid in the Muslim religion, Eid. So on Eid, I got a chance to go away from my house. I said, I'm going to meet some people. And in that pretext, I went and met a journalist, Jamal Sheikh. And I gave him my full interview, what I'm telling you, okay, I've been through this, I've been through that, you know. And he took it down. And then I said, no, yeah, I can't, it's my family, I can't go against. It's a very difficult step, you know, to go against your family.
Yeah.
So I realized that and I said that, no, I should not come out with this interview right now. I told Jamal, just hold on, you know, don't print it. And he was kind enough to hold on, although he had a full recording of mine and everything that I had written down on paper. So he held back the interview and I went back home and I said, maybe, you know, after a few months, I'll be given my freedom. So after 1 year of me being locked up, I was given freedom and I was able to come back here. I told Amir, my brother, that he's 1 year is up. And now you had said that for 1 year, you want to survey me and, you know, keep me under lock and key. And now that's what I mean, what have I done wrong now? I mean, everything is going according to you and according to the family. So then I was allowed to come back here and then I started writing scripts because I had put on a lot of weight. You know, I had become 103 kilos. But I was 77 when they locked me around and I'd become 103. So I had become huge and my movements had become all slow and all that. So I said, now, anyway, I won't be able to act. Who can I approach now? I mean, you know, first I have to look presentable as an actor. So then I started writing scripts and studying films. That's when I started writing scripts. I thought that I would go and open a goat farm somewhere and get into farming and dog breeding and all that kind of thing, you know, to earn my livelihood. And that's when I started meeting some, you know, goat people and trying to find out about more about goats and study the full thing. So all that was happening, and then suddenly in 2007, my brother calls me, and one day, and he says, "Faisal, no, you are not, you are not proper in your mind, and you have to go and give your signatory rights up." So that came as a shock to me.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
Signatory rights means you have to go in the court with a doctor, and you have to tell the court, the judge, that you are not capable of taking your own decisions, and you need a guardian.
Uh-huh.
And you can't sign any checks, you can't vote, you know, all your rights as a person are taken away. And so I thought, I got a shock that day. I said, I mean, this family matter is not ending. Yeah? I mean, they don't seem to realize that they are harming me. Mm-hmm. So that's when I left the house, Christian.
Oh, so this was the time when you escaped. Is that when you disappeared?
The time I left, I disappeared. Yeah, I disappeared means I left the house, and I said, no, I decided that I have to take my family on. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the time I finally realized that now it's me against the family. I have to take them on. And that's how I contacted one inspector friend of mine. And I went ahead and did a test, a mental kind of test with the government hospital, because the inspector told me that when you do this test, and if you get clear, if you get a clear test, then you will be, then you can, you know, take your family to task also, because they have been doing all this to you.
What about the interview, Faisal? What about the interview that you had given Jamal?
Yeah. So then I told Jamal, you know, I called Jamal also. I called this inspector, I met him, and I called, and he was in quite a good position. He was a senior police officer in one of the police stations in charge. So he was a head over there. So I took his help, and I called Jamal. I said, Jamal, now that interview that I'd given to you, I need to print it. Mm-hmm. So
when was that? What year was that?
So Jamal, in 2007, October around. So then Jamal tells me that, oh God, that interview is no more with me. So then I told him, but I need to do it. You know, so he said, okay, luckily I'm in Delhi now. So I said, oh God, then when are you coming to Bombay? So he said, I'm coming today only. So this is how things fell into place. Yeah. You know, see, when God is on your side, So things, he came that day evening, and that same night I gave him the interview in the headlines today and Aajtak. I think they're the same. If I remember right, it was the headlines today and Aajtak office. I went there and I gave the interview. He himself anchored it.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Sheikh himself anchored the interview. That
you
interview
know, it gives me, this AB is asking, what gives you energy by working in the industry and keeps you going after all this story, you know?
Yeah. See, the thing
what
is
that
I have
that,
learned
that makes you see, keep going?
See, I think that I've learned this kind of work, you know? I mean, I know just this kind of work, which I've learned because I'm born in this family and I've learned as a assistant director. So I don't know what, I just feel that I must just earn my living, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've learned this work, I have to do this work. If I had learned some other work, I would be giving it all. And as a human being and as a professional, I believe in giving it my all in any project.
Yeah.
You know, at whatever time, whatever I've learned, I believe in doing that. So coming back to that, I spoke to Jamal, and then Jamal came, and then we gave the interview and all that. And then my brother and all found out that, and then since I gave the interview, the Bimal Parikh is a right-hand man of my brother's company, the CA and financial consultant. So he called me, he said, what is this interview you're giving and all that? And, you know, come and meet me in my office, and your brothers are fighting and it's not good and all that. So then I went and met him, and I was so angry. I told him, I'm going to put Aamir Khan in jail now. He's going to go in jail because of whatever illegal things he's done to me. And I've given this test of mine, which will come clear. This was the wrong thing that I did, because I told him I was so confident that my test would come proper. And, you know, I would put all things straight and take my family. I was in that spirit.
Listen,
I was like, I've got the upper hand now.
I've got someone here who says, I was the lucky one who got to work with Faisal in Khan. Faisal Khan,
this
in
is my heroine.
Who is that?
She's my heroine.
No. And she's hiding. Oh, she's hiding in the group here.
She's watching.
She's the heroine, yes.
Yeah, she's done very well in the film.
Oh,
She
had patience with that nutty character.
Yeah.
Maria's saying,
getting back to
my
family.
We'll come back to this. Yeah,
you are lucky. So my family, when I told them that, I told Bimal Parikh that I'm going to, you know, put things straight, and I've got the rein controls in my hand now.
Yeah.
So and my inspector friend said that now, Faisal, you must, you know, just be in the hiding till you don't get the results, don't get caught.
Yeah.
Because the family has a lot of power, you know, in these cases, and if they catch you, and then no one can help you. So I went off to Khandala, which is 2-3 hours away from Bombay. You know, it's a hill station, just to wait for the reports to come back. But by the time I told Bimal, you know, where I'd done my test and all that. So Bimal Parikh and Amir and the family goes to that doctor in that hospital and they brainwash the doctor. And then I said, oh God, like, you know, and that I came to know later on. So I said, same night I got caught because some lawyer spills the bean on me. Because he knew my family and he knew myself. Okay. And I told him, they came and police comes in the night and catches me in Lonavala. And I tell the police that, what have I done wrong? I mean, the police is supposed to catch you only when you do something wrong.
Yeah.
But since my brother was putting all the force and all that, so I said, I asked the police, the 5, 6, 7, 8 guys who had come, and, you know, they were manhandling me and they were trying to. So I said, what have I done wrong? And do you have a warrant? I mean, why are you arresting me? So they said, and I said, this is your jurisdiction because you can't arrest me in Lonavala. You're from Khar police station. You're from Bombay.
Yeah.
So they were like not listening, and they had the orders to get me back anyhow. Like, you know, so they just caught me and they took me back. And the next day I had to fight a court case. I had never seen a court in my life. So all that happened. And well, to cut it short, I fought the court case and everything happened. Then I won the court case in my favor. And then they put me in a mental hospital for 20 days. I was in the general ward of a mental hospital. So a lot that happened, you know. So, well, all that happened. And then I won my court case. And
I have to say that since I've known you, you've had always such a positive attitude. But I know the story. And I think to myself, oh, my God, he's a survivor. People would, if they weren't crazy before, they would have become crazy with all of that experience, you know?
Right. It was very tough. It was very tough. And to take on your family is a very tough thing. You know, you can fight with the world. But then, I had to. If I had to survive, that was the survival instinct, you know?
Survival instinct.
I was pushed against the wall. You know, I was pushed against the wall, so I had to do it. There was no
there
way
is,
out. Otherwise, I wouldn't have worked ahead, wouldn't have made a film. I would yet be in the house taking injections and just lying like a vegetable, vegetating over there. You know?
Shilpa says, probably Amir found you as competition.
Maybe. Maybe. I can't say because he's not come out with all this, you know. And I've never sat and asked this question to him, because he didn't hear my story of my first script also, with the first film that my father produced for me as a brother. If he was my younger brother, I would have definitely listened to the script, given my inputs, you know, seen that he does well. Mm-hmm. But that was not there from his side, even for my first film, Madhosh.
Uh-huh.
And Mela was my second film. So I don't know what is going on in his mind. I've never sat and questioned him.
Listen, I have a question here. It says... when it comes to regret, is there anything that you wish you would have done or would have done differently?
No, I wouldn't have done anything differently. I don't regret anything because I feel what happens to you in life is destined to happen. And I've come out as a winner, I feel, in this situation. And, you know, I feel I'm a fighter. So I'm fighting it out now also. And I feel I don't regret anything. I hold no grudges against anyone because I feel if I was supposed to go through all this to... learn and the process of life. So I feel, and many people will be having more difficult lives than me also. Yeah? You never know.
Look,
maybe today I think, I have had such a difficult life. Maybe other people might be having more difficult lives than me. So if I wish something else, I would have maybe had a more difficult life.
Roa Lee, the best person. I've worked with him and you couldn't find a better person, Faisal. Roa Lee, you have to come on the show. Write to me. I'm going to have you and come here and interview you.
Tell her
to get in touch with me.
I'll tell her. You should interview her.
She'll give us an idea because if I'm not mistaken, there was another woman who was supposed to play that part and then she disappeared. What happened?
Yes, there was another girl actress who was supposed to be cast. She was signed on in this project. But then she started losing her looks, you know, and this role is that about her, she was losing her charm, and we were like, oh God, why is she doing that? And we kept telling her, please put on some weight, become fresh again, you know, look fresh, look good. Because the story is such that a guy goes head over heels in love with a girl. You know?
Right,
if that girl is not looking good, or if she's not up to, she's not looking fresh, then it doesn't work. I mean, you know, they say, why is he so crazy afterwards then?
Yeah.
So we couldn't work with her because of professional reasons. And then we had to sign someone else, and then Roli got the part. So that way. And if I was that crazy, you know, I have to take, when I'm making a film, you have to take hundreds of decisions, you know, directing and acting, you know, it's a complex job. So if I was crazy, how can I make a film? How can I sing a song? How can I do all these complex activities?
Look, I'll tell the whole public, whenever you and I spoke, it was never before midnight. So because you were busy all day. So when we spoke, it was midnight.
Well, I worked in late hours because of this film, you know, things are getting passed, and trailers and thumbnails and all the clippings of each song, 20 seconds, 60 seconds. So I have to pass everything as a director. The director has to take each and every decision, big or small, you know. And then the producers were new. So even the production decisions were on me. I had to, you know, handle that as well. So I was taking decisions all my life, and my family saying I can't take decisions, or I'm harmful to myself or the society. Yeah, I haven't harmed anyone in the past 12 years after this incident. Because in 2008, I was given my freedom by court. I haven't harmed anyone. I haven't harmed myself. I'm just trying to improve myself and work on myself and be a good human being.
We have. Hi, Faisal, bye. You are such a strong soul. Never give up. Keep on trying again and again. From Jakarta in Indonesia, Naveen.
Thanks, Naveen. Thanks, Naveen.
Then we have, we've got a question, not an odd question, but let's see. Please ask about his childhood memories with his brother and the movie stars. He grew in front of. What do you remember as a child?
See, as a child, I remember memories of, you know, flying kites with my brother, and he's flying kite, and we're playing cricket together and badminton together. And we used to have all these, you know, there are a lot of children in our building. So we used to play games on the terrace and as kids cycle and, you know, all those things. So all those memories are there, good fond memories.
Did you grow up in an atmosphere of actors and actresses? I mean, did you?
No, my parents didn't want, my mother especially didn't want me to enter any one of us to enter this line, not even Amir, not even me. Because it's a very tough and very unpredictable line, you know. You never know. I mean, you might not make it all your life. You might have to struggle, and you might, you know, it was very unpredictable. So my mother always was very, and my father also, he said, yeah, you know, I'll try and do something else.
Yeah.
Because my father was never a very big producer. He was always struggling, and just, you know, we were just having a good life. We were now very big. My uncle was a very big producer director of his times. But my father, although he did good films, but he was never a very big name. But he did some good films in his career.
There's a question.
So seeing all that, even my parents were scared to put us in this line. But then somehow we just landed here. I don't know. I've tried to leave this line twice, Crystal. I wanted to get into the hotel business, actually.
Hotel business.
And I was not a good student, but so I failed my entrance exam in the 12th. And even that lady said, what is your family business? And I said, making films. She said, why don't you try that? And I was like, oh God. But I was very interested in the hotel business. And, you know, maybe if I get some money sometime, I might open a small eating joint somewhere, you know.
Look, it's Hope asks, do you have any advice for someone that would like to join Bollywood?
See, it's a tough line, and there are a lot of politics, there's a lot of games, and, you know, well, people try to pull down even the one who are on top. Forget the people who are starting. I mean, I have seen this with my eyes. I mean, you know, that people who are on top are also against each other. They're all very selfish people in this line, you know. So they all try to pull you down constantly, whether you're on top or whether you're starting. Yeah. And they don't like anyone else's success. I don't know why, because they should, you know, learn from that. And they should feel happy if someone has done a good job. But they, I don't know, they're a little jealous kind of people in this line. Yeah. So it's a tough line. I would just say it's tough, but know your craft. And believe in God and believe in yourself. You know, learn your work and try and give your best in whatever you do.
Yeah.
And if you have to succeed, and that goes for all lines,
I feel.
You know, you should know your craft, know your work, and the rest is to God.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really say how to get successful or how to reach the top. I mean, no one has any formula as such, you know, in life or any work. Yeah.
There's Anjali so, asks, you have to read that. I can't understand that.
आप बात कर रहे हैं फैसल भाई आपके आंखों में और बातों में दर्द छलक रहा है but love you man. She's saying that you are talking all your stories but there's some sadness in your words and in your feelings but she's saying love to you man and take care and all that. So well the sadness is that you know I mean it's of course it's not having a family is a tough thing you know around you. I mean, I mean, most people will understand that, I guess.
Yeah.
And I yet can't relate to them. That's the sad part of life, you know. I mean, I have to be alone for God. I don't know when that might change. That might change. That might not change. One has never seen tomorrow what happens, you know. So anyway, that's the sad part to not have your family around you.
Strong support. Thing. Yeah. Strong support.
Because that's the support everyone looks up to, you know, looks forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Ankit says, Faisal, even you do really seem good as a person, but your upcoming movie doesn't seem and not even trailer and songs. Don't get disheartened if we don't support watching your movie.
No, of course. Of course, everyone might see, you know, everyone, you can't expect everyone to like your movie. You know, many people will not like your work and that happens to the best of works and depends on what mood you're watching a movie or, you know, so that's totally fair. I mean, I don't expect everyone to like my film. I expect hopefully a majority to like my film.
Yeah.
So, well, that's fair enough. If someone doesn't like it, there's no hard feelings.
Wait, no. You told me I want to break even. I want to break even. Remember that?
I want to break even, but I don't want the producers to go in a loss. You know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't want to make a lot of money, but just breaking even will make me happy. And we will break even over the couple of years, I feel.
Yeah.
The way things are going, hopefully.
Look, I have a question here. I'm not sure if it's something you could answer. Any comments on Maharashtra government? Any comments on Ekta Kapoor, Johan Johar, Karan Johar, and the suspicious deaths in Bollywood and the TV industry? This is a big, you know, how many hours do we have?
Big question, yeah. See, the less said, the better. Yeah. See, everyone knows the way the things are going, you know. I mean, my adding to something and saying something, no one is a fool in today's world.
Yes, you know? Wait a minute. When you say no one's a fool in today's world, okay, but something has to be said a little bit in the open, in the sense that there's just so much
happening,
you know.
Yeah, so there are wrong things happening everywhere. I mean, people are taking their power positions into. I don't know what's happening in the full world. Yeah. I mean, forget a case like Sushant. I was shocked with the case of Janhvi Kukreja. If you go into her thing, I mean, it was so sad. She's not a known person. She's not a celebrity. But the way her life was, you know, I mean, what she had to undergo was saddening.
Yeah.
So forget, I mean, if you're a celebrity and if you fight the power people, they already, you know, but this is a common person. Yeah. What's happening in the society? I mean, the other day, yesterday, one girl got raped in a tempo in Bombay and some rod and shoved in her. What is happening in the society? The society is going to the dogs, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, why to blame? It's like people are losing their intolerance and should have more patience, have more humanity. As a creative person, as a small artist, I wish that the world becomes a better place to live in and a happy place to live in. Yeah, we should support each other, people fighting against each religion and crazy things happening, you know. I mean, I'm saddened by the full humanity is degrading.
Yeah.
What else can I say? You know, should we point out who to point out to?
Right.
In all strata of society, all things, so many things are going wrong. You know, these few people are highlighted because they are some known people,
Known names. I mean,
But otherwise, there's so much wrong happening everywhere.
Yeah.
You sit in the police station, you see the hundreds of wrong things. Every 5 minutes, someone is coming and fighting and. Crazy, it's a crazy
scene. We have Edu who wants to work with you. He wants to work.
What does he do?
What does he do? He must. Who knows if he sings and dances? Edu will let us know.
I don't know. He might do X. Yeah, you should somehow
write to
us. I don't know if he's from Bombay or he's not from Bombay or what does he do. I mean, if
write
he gets
to
in
us.
Touch with me somehow.
Yeah.
Write to Christelle.
Yeah, write to me and I'll pass it on. Let's see. Following you, people are saying that they follow you. Here you go. I've got a personal question here. Are you a spiritual person? Have you had any encounters? And I think the encounters mean with spirits or some form of a spiritual presence.
See, I am a very spiritual person. Whatever I went through in life, all the tough times, I believed in God so much that that power itself helped me to come out of all my problems. And whatever happened throughout the big problems that I went through, I couldn't have done it without a spiritual force behind me.
Yeah.
I literally believe in that and I pray to God every day. I'm a Muslim, so I pray in the Muslim way. I mean, that's what I've been learned and taught up with, but I'm against no religion. And you know, one funny, I want to take this opportunity to tell some of my viewers that, see, even I'm a human being, I might be doing something wrong, you know, but don't follow me also blindly. Yeah. I mean, if I have some religious thing, if I celebrate Christmas with having wine and cake, people get upset that he's a Muslim and he's drinking and all that. But maybe I'm doing something wrong. I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm telling you what I do. And my equation with my God is my equation, you know. I mean, people get upset with things about religious things and all that. So of what they ask a question, I answer honestly. But I'm not telling them to follow what I'm doing. You know, I mean, if they feel they should not drink or they should not do something, it's up to them and their God. Yeah. They hold me at a gunpoint with all this.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying this is the way I live and this is the way I believe in. Yeah. My way doesn't have to be the right way. Yeah.
This is
I'm a human being.
Shima Soni, please ask him if he knows or remembers me. Shima Soni.
Shima Soni. No, I don't remember Shima Soni.
Well, this is
Soni,
another
please.
Person.
Sorry,
write and we'll
find out. Yeah, write to Christelle and let us know where we met or how we connected.
Okay, a lot of people want to meet you, K-Tube.
I'm from Bombay. Would love
to meet you. What is Faisal Bhai? What does that mean?
Bhai means brother. Bhai means brother.
Brother. Okay. Would love to meet you. Are you close to your mom?
Yeah, and I drink only once a year, you know, in Christmas. I don't drink often. I never drink, actually. I'm against drinking. But I like to celebrate each festival the way it is done in Indian culture. I like to be Hindustani, you know, totally Indian.
Yeah.
And celebrate each function. And I don't smoke. I don't drink. I'm total teetotaler. But only on one day I like to drink and people hold me against it.
Is Mirab there with you?
No, what I'm saying is that and I'm not close to my mom and my family anymore. To answer the question, I'm not close to my mom and my family anymore. That's a sad part of it, Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the sad part of it. So that question I answered, the last question was that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've become so alert with things, you know, it's like once bitten, twice shy.
Exactly. Let's see. Well, we have Swara who says, Faisal, you are not alone. And that is always good to hear, to know. That is always good to know.
Thanks so much. Thanks. Yeah, that's good to know.
This is an odd question. I get that a lot. Is Sushant a government agent? Was he a government agent?
I wouldn't know that because I didn't know him. You know, I've never met him in my life. Yeah. I've never met Sushant.
Yeah, it did come up in a reading.
I mean, I don't know all this.
Yeah.
I just keep hearing about things from the TV, whatever little I get to know. But I really didn't know Sushant. I've never met him in my life.
And
maybe if you would have met people like me and, you know, like-minded, because I felt he was a very intelligent person. Very bright person, full of energy, and a very honest person. What he comes across in his interviews, you know, maybe if he would have met people like me and connected, maybe we could have, you know, gone much ahead doing more different kind of work. But the sad part is that I didn't meet him when he was alive.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Is there one thing? If you had one thing to say to the people who are listening, something that you could give them by way of not motivation, but something that would help someone who is down in the, you know, dumps or struggling.
I would just say, be kind, be honest, stick to the basic things in life. Be kind, be honest, respect others, respect yourself, speak the truth, try and make the world a better place to live in. You know?
Yeah.
And if everyone does a good job of being a good human being, then automatically the world becomes a better place to live in. As a small artist, I would hope for this to happen. You know, don't try and hurt people. Mm-hmm. Just stick to the basics, you know.
Yeah.
Stick to the basics instead of trying to be overly good or over. Just be a good human being, you know.
Yeah.
And that will make the world a better place and happy place to live in for our future generations as well.
Thank you so much for coming, Faisal. Really, I appreciate it, and I'm sure everyone appreciates it. Really, yeah. Thank you,
Christophe, for having me. Thank you.
Bye, everybody, and thank you for supporting us.
Bye, everybody.